After Edmund Fanning releases husband in May 1768, an eyewitness says Fanning then approaches the river here to meet with the regulators, holding a bottle each of rum and wine. He asks one man to send over a horse so he can cross. The man replies, "You're none too good to wade." Fanning refuses. Governor Tryon's private secretary is here and promises the governor will address their complaints if they disperse. The regulators do. The governor doesn't, leading to the summer campaign described at the jail site and the riot 2 years later. The most shocking arrival at the ford takes place on Saturday, August 19, 1780. General Gates and a few of his aides ride across after the Battle of Camden, South Carolina, without their army. It had been a disastrous defeat, and Gates left before the battle was over, claiming later he was forced to escape the British cavalry. Coming by way of Charlotte, he rode 180 miles in 3 days. Alexander Hamilton wrote upon hearing of this misadventure, "Was there ever an instance of a general running away as Gates has done for his whole army?" He added sarcastically about the length of the journey, "It does admirable credit to the activity of a man at his time of life." Units straggled into town directly from the battle, crossing here or via Salisbury. New troops began to arrive from Virginia. Though the exact camp location is unknown, an 1802 source says it was about a mile out of town, though without tents, using fence rails, poles, brush, and Indian corn tops for shelter. The courthouse was converted to a supply warehouse, and the church into a hospital. There were few supplies, however, whether clothing or weapons. Some soldiers were so poorly clad that they refused to leave their huts or tents. The state put everyone in town who could use a needle to work sewing uniforms and created a shoe factory. For a few months, the army nurses its wounds and tries to rebuild. Finally that fall, a portion of the army heads for Salisbury along King Street. Most of the rest marches out Wednesday, November 8, headed for Charlotte, followed by Gates and 130 cavalry soon after. During the visit of the British, Cornwallis's army crosses here to his second campsite. The exact location is unknown, but it was probably from the area of today's Exchange Park to the heights you see across the river. To view that area later using this bridge, take Churton to Exchange Park Road on the right just before the river. From here, it is easy to see why he might have moved to place the river and hillside between them and Greene's potential line of attack. 7 months later, some of David Fanning's raiders came in by this route, and all of them left this way with their 140 prisoners bound for modern-day Ramsar, but ending up in Wilmington due to the battle mentioned earlier. Consider continuing out the Riverwalk to the left on your way back to your car. On the other side of the bridge, you will see the site of an historic African-American community and a reconstruction of Okeechobee Town. The actual site is marked further down the trail along the creek. Archaeologists found evidence of a log wall, sweat lodge, and cemetery along with home sites, and both Native and European items. The town was visited in 1711 by John Lawson on his 400-mile walk from north of Charleston to today's New Bern via modern Charlotte. By 1771, it was the site of a horse racing track. If you visit, you will also pass over the road to New Bern used by Tryon's army. Historical tidbits. The grounds of the 1815 Ironmount home, up St. Mary's Road past the Visitor Center, include one of the best remaining publicly accessible sections of the Great Trading Road. It is along the front edge of the property to the left of the house and can usually be viewed in daytime hours even if the house is not open. After the war, President George Washington slept in a house that was here, but not here. During his epic 1791 tour of the southern states, Washington spent the night at the home of Dudley Gatewood in North Carolina near Danville, Virginia. Gatewood served in the militia and was in Hillsboro briefly to guard a session of the legislature in 1781. In the late 1970s, the developer of the Daniel Boone Village Retail Center south of Hillsboro moved the house there. Sadly, it was allowed to fall into disrepair. Instead of saving it, a home building company tore it down in 2024. To see its location, follow the driving instructions under Historical Tidbits. If you wish, follow the driving instructions under Thomas Burke Home Site and Grave to hear one last story from the David Fanning raid.